live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Aid to the men. Well, how many of you were unable to be here Friday or Saturday? Shame, shame, Pastor knows your name. For those of you that may not be familiar with me, I want to encourage you to go check out our website. It's simply my name, ryanjohnson.us, ryanjohnson.us. I want you to go check out our website. You can check out our blogs, things that I've written, prophetic words the Lord has given me. Some of those things have been blessed to be able to be published through Charisma Media, Charisma News, Charisma Magazine, Elijah's List, Spirit Fuel, and a few other things. So you might be familiar with some of those words. Also want you to look at the partnership and pray about partnering with the ministry. But if you're on social media in any form or fashion, when you go to the homepage, there is a, in the upper right-hand corner, there's how you can link on to us through social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I got a love-hate relationship with social media. Some days it absolutely drives me nuts. And I get on it to make a post and I jump off. I don't spend a whole lot of time on social media. Most of the time I find out anything my wife tells me. Did you see we're so-and-so? So it works that way good for me. I don't have the tolerance a lot of times to put up with what goes through social media, but I know this. It's free. And it's a tool that the kingdom of God needs to be using instead of being against. The church missed a golden opportunity when television came on the forefront and we had preachers in pulpits calling it evil and demonic and so on and so forth. And the church lost an opportunity. We're working to get it back, but we lost an opportunity to take advantage of being able to declare the gospel across nations. Social media is a tool that we can use. I can go live on Periscope or Facebook, and automatically I'm in Australia, New Zealand. I'm in Italy and Spain. Right now, I've got this. In the past 2 weeks, I've had some ministries in Spain reaching out, trying to get me to Spain in the next couple of months. Folks, we need to take advantage of the things that God has put before us. Is there things that are evil and malicious? Sure. But we got to learn how to shine light in the midst of darkness instead of just wiping it across the board and calling it what it is. But we've been extremely blessed. Every Tuesday night at 9 Eastern, I'm a part of a TV program called The Prophetic Update. Every week on CTN. Now, if you don't get CTN in this region, you may not be able to get it. That program, if you go to my ministry Facebook page every Tuesday night, we will we'll tag that video. They'll launch it, and so you'll be able to see the program every Tuesday night called Prophetic Update. I'm with Apostle Ryan LaStrange, Apostle JoJo Dawson, Prophet Don Hill, Prophet Alex White, Prophet Jacob Biswell, Prophet Nathan Johnston out of Australia, and many others that come and be a part of it as well. Every week we are releasing about a 3.5 minute word of what we believe the Lord is saying and speaking into the body of Christ. That airs every single week through CTN. If you want to watch it live, you can get to the link of the station that's launching it every week live. You can tag onto that. You'll see that information, all that. There's stuff that's out there that's available. And we're thankful for the opportunity of social media to be showing that stuff as well. AwakeningTV.com is a network that Apostle Ryland Strange and Prophet Jennifer LeClaire, who's the managing editor of Charisma, she and Apostle Ryan launched AwakeningTV.com. It is an internet TV channel to where you go on and you'll see old revival services up to modern revival services. A lot of times where Apostle Ryan might be hosting a conference, they'll do the conferences live on that. But there's other people that have TV programs. I have the honor of doing an entire season with myself, Prophet Jason Armstrong, and Jennifer LeClaire, where we talk about prophetic ministry, the identity of the prophet, the identity of the gift of prophecy. You know, a lot of times people reject prophets because they really want the gifts. What I mean by that, the gift of prophecy has to stay within the realms of edification, exhortation, and comfort. The gift of prophecy has to stay within those boundaries. But a prophet can have a word that can have those elements, but does not have to be confined within those three boundaries. See, the true assignment of a prophet, you're going to find out a prophet has the authority in which they're very destructive, constructive, and instructive. And what I mean by that, a prophet can come in and destroy the thing in which is wrong according to God's law, God's word, God's commandments. And then the prophet will construct. He'll build back. He or she will build back what should be right. Where a lot of prophets are missing it in our day and time is they fail to instruct. If you just destroy and build back, but you don't instruct people in how to live a life of righteousness, they're just going to repeat the cycle again. A true prophet will be destructive, constructive, and instructive. But they'll also be having those elements of encouragement, exhortation, and edification, and consolation, comfort. They'll have those elements. But we are so geared to want to have a good, nice, encouraging word that when a prophet comes and calls out the sin and calls you into repentance, we call them false prophets because we don't want to hear the thing in which causes us to have to deal with the issue. But the truth is, a lot of times we're rejecting the prophet because we've been so geared to think it didn't do anything to encourage me. You're really wanting the gift and not the person. And that's just the truth of where we're at. So one of the things that we address in that is getting back to the identity of the prophet and not being so quick to reject prophets. And I'm about to the point to where I want to pull my hair out because I hear so many people say, well, they're a false prophet. They're a false prophet. Let me tell you something. There's only one prophet ever mentioned in the Bible that his words never fell to the ground. In other words, he never missed it, and that was the prophet Samuel. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Prophets will miss it from time to time. They'll prophesy out of their flesh. They'll prophesy out of their culture. They'll prophesy out of their region, and it'll just be of themselves. But that doesn't make them false because they missed it. According to the Bible, what makes a false prophet is they have an antichrist message. A false prophet, a false teacher, is an antichrist message. Not somebody that misses it or somebody that says something and you don't like it, so you deem them to be false. That's all free. Let's dive into some stuff this morning. So check out the website. RyanJohnson.us, pray about partnering with us. We appreciate those that are able to sow into the ministry. Thank you for sowing. I leaned over to my wife and I said, I've never been anywhere where anybody did what your pastor just did. When he took up the love offering first. That's never happened to me. Ever. It may not be a big deal to you, but I know a little bit how church world goes, and believe it or not. And I was in Louisiana not long ago, and the pastor got up and said, listen, we're going to take an offering. We're going to put the offering plate in the back. When you're on your way out, put the offering in the plate. So the service is over. A guy comes up to me, and he hands me a check and says, this is for the church, from the church, but don't forget get your offering in the back. I said, okay. So we're talking and everything, and I get ready to leave, and we go towards the back. That same guy's there, and I said, out of respect, because I didn't want anybody to think anything, there's the plate with the cash in it. And I said, now, I'm supposed to get this too? And he goes, hold on, let me check. And he comes back and he goes, oh no, just the check. Now the pastor said one thing, but then there was another thing took place. And I want to tell you, you may not thought much about what your pastor did by taking the love offering first, but that's huge. That's huge. And we're very grateful for that. We honor your pastor and his family for the work that they've done. I want to talk about this moment, and I'm going to try to get you out of here at 12, my time. But I'm on God's time. Central Standard Time. No, I won't do that to y'all. No, I'm just being serious. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. I want to talk about releasing the sound of heaven. Releasing the sound of heaven. Last night we kind of tapped into a little bit of talking about hearing what heaven is declaring. And just to quickly kind of reiterate, you know, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says, who do they say that I am? And then he looks at Peter, known as Simon Barjona at the time, and he says, but who do you say that I am? Peter initially says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God Almighty. Jesus tells Peter that he's blessed because no one has told him this but the Father in heaven. In all the messages I've ever preached, taught, ever been a part of, not one of them has ever impressed heaven. Not one message. People come up to you after service and say, oh man, that enlightened me, that thrilled me, that opened up stuff. That I've never heard anything like that before, but I've never preached a message and all of heaven went, whoa. Never thought of it that way before. Because the truth is, if you are somebody that preaches the gospel, teaches the gospel, whatever you do, your goal should be able to preach and teach the thing in which you hear being declared out of heaven, not what's coming off sermon.org. Not what they are saying. And we got a lot of men and women that repeat what they are saying, but we don't have enough that is releasing what the kingdom of heaven is saying. And there is a sound that comes out of heaven. And I run into people everywhere I go. They get frustrated. The greatest battle in church usually revolves around worship. The greatest battle usually revolves around worship. I got tickled because I looked at that drum set and Yamaha, and it reminded me I was on staff at a place and we were having sound issues and we couldn't get the drums controlled. We had a mic. We tried to get it, you know, mic'd to where we could control the drums, and it was just, we couldn't do anything about it. In the center of the stage was a baptistry. And so we figured out, we'll put the drums up on a platform with rollers. We'll roll the drums in front of the baptistry and try to force the sound to go out through the baptistry and still mic it. So it worked. I mean, it worked. It was the most beautiful. It was phenomenal. And you would have thought we brought hell itself to the stage. And people started pitching a fit and saying that we were worshiping the drums because we put them in the center of the stage. So my sympathetic heart started saying, I didn't know that we were bowing to the God of Yamaha. The greatest battle has been over worship. And it seems that way from day one because of the identity of who Lucifer was. And I run into people and they get frustrated with worship because all of a sudden God starts doing something in worship and worship tarries. And now you get these complaints. Well, it went too long. They kept singing that 7-Eleven song, seven words sung 11 times. It was too loud. It wasn't loud enough. It was, you know, it's just always a constant battle around worship. And I get tickled because I'm like, you really don't intend to go to heaven, do you? Because that's all it is. Like, really and truthfully, as much as I love to preach the gospel, I'm out of work when I get into eternity. That's it. As much as you love your favorite preachers, As much as you think Perry Stone sliced bread, he's out of a job when he steps into eternity. The number one assignment in eternity is worship. And heaven is releasing a sound. Ivy tapped into it when she started saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come." That is the continual declaration of heaven. Non-stop. Non-stop. And I get excited because some years ago, y'all mentioned baptism, and I was getting excited. By the way, crawfish where I'm from is called lobster. Some people call them mud bugs, but it's lobster where we're from. It's high eating. But she started singing that, and they mentioned baptism. My mind got to going because the way that we do baptism is, first of all, I put in the Jewish aspect of it, because when the Jewish, the rabbis, they got baptized every day. That'll wreck a lot of theology. Because there's a group of people that believes you only get baptized one time because it says one baptism. That's not talking about water baptisms. That's talking about your baptism into Christ. But people be like, "I just don't think I'd be water baptized." Listen, if you've been saved but you go off out into left field and you stay out in left field for a period of time and you come back and you want to have a baptism experience, go for it. You'll be all right. You know, eventually you're going to need to take a shower because you stink. And sometimes you're going to get rebaptized. But what the Jews taught in the process of rabbinical baptism is they were baptized every day, but they don't baptize like we baptize. And I don't know exactly where it came from. We can take it down to about the Dark Ages period where we baptized backwards. But most theologians believe that Jesus was simply went down like this, went straight. Most theologians believe that. So where we go the baptisms, because we're talking about being raised, which is good. I'm not against that. But what the rabbinical priesthood done is they baptized you forward because they believed they were baptizing you into your future. So what I do when I baptize is I baptize you backwards, get you to stand up, catch your breath, and catch you forward. And the reason it is because God showed me this. It is your death, burial, and resurrection into your future, but it's who was, who is, and who is to come. When you're baptized backwards, it's who was, but when you stand, it's who is, and when you go forward, it's who is to come. See, your identity always has a future attached to it. See, heaven is always releasing something sometimes that doesn't feel like it's anything we've ever done, but it's the newness of God. And there's a sound that we have to tap in, and it's not just always worship, but I want you to do something for me here. I want you to... You can hear something and automatically anticipate something based off the sound. So if he plays, can you hear that? What happens when you hear this song? Most of the time, without anyone telling you, you stand up and look backwards. Because here's the thing, a sound predetermined a revelation. Here's the thing, sound precedes the manifestation of the revelation. Sound will always precede the manifestation of the revelation. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain." So Ahab went up, ate and drank, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and he looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened at the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab robed away and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and the girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab and the entrance of Jezreel. I want you to go back and I want you to hear verse 41 again. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up and drink, for there is the sound. Now, a lot of translations talks about the sound of an abundant rain. Now, for years, I'm going to tell you, in my thought process, I thought that meant just like you and I would possibly go outside and all of a sudden hear the rain coming down. You ever been in a house that has a metal roof? You can quickly determine whether or not it's a sprinkle or a downpour. Without ever looking outside, you can determine it based off of the sound. But when you translate this word here into the Hebrew, it literally means that there was a roar of a man groaning likened unto a lion. Here's what Elijah heard. It's like Elijah heard the roar of a lion, but he heard it with a man's voice. It's not that Elijah heard rain itself, he heard a roar. Before Elijah ever sees the rain, he hears the sound. He tells his servant to go look for the thing in which he hears. The servant goes, nothing, comes back. Nothing, goes back. Nothing, goes back. Seventh time, he sees the cloud the size of a man's hand. What is Elijah doing in this process? He's praying. You see, there's a lot of times in our life, whether we want to admit this or not, but you have heard the sound of heaven. But because of a lack of confidence, maybe doubt, maybe fear, whatever the case may be, you didn't take the time to intercede for the thing in which you heard. Elijah heard the sound, but he didn't depend on just the sound. He fought for the revelation of the sound. And as he's praying, the servant keeps coming back. I don't see nothing. Keep going back. Keep going back. And eventually he sees, and eventually the clouds turn, the sky turns black. The rain begins to come. Ahab is going to go and take the glory for himself. Elijah takes up his clothes, girds himself, takes off running. The Bible says he outruns the chariots of Ahab. Some time ago, I heard the Lord say to release the sound of heaven. I asked God specifically what exactly he was meaning because I think that I have an understanding of what he was saying, but I wanted to know a little bit more about what he was saying. The Lord spoke to me and said, what do you say all the time about sound? And I said, God, I'm always saying sound precedes the manifestation of the revelation. So the Lord began to take me a little bit further into understanding about tapping into sound. How many knows the Bible says that if you do not praise him, the rocks will cry out? Now, for a long time, I thought that that meant that if I remain silent, eventually rocks are going to release a sound. But do you know that creation already makes a sound? It already has a sound. Thanks to science now and technology, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. They went down to a creek. You know how you have rocks coming out of the creek and the water running over the creek and stuff? They were able to record it, and the creek, the water running over the rocks, made musical notes and released a sound. Every time the rock water hit a rock, it shifted into another sound. Every time a rock penetrated out of the water and caused the water to divert, it released a different sound. And so they recorded this, and they discovered that these rivers were already making a song unto God. Rocks in and of themselves are constantly moving, even though we don't see the effects of it. And they release sound. The creation already has a sound. When the scripture is saying, if you don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. It's not saying if you don't do your job, God's going to use the rocks to replace you. What he's saying is creation will outdo you, and it was never intended that creation be above the voice of mankind. And yet so many times we allow the creation to be louder than the voice. And why is that important? Because here's the thing. We sing a song right now, and there's a line in it that's popular, very popular in a lot of churches, and it says, it's your breath in our lungs that we praise you. We sing that song, and sometimes we don't think a whole lot about it, but let's think about it for a moment, okay? Do we really understand what we're saying when we say it's his breath in our lungs? In the day of Moses, Moses builds a tabernacle built after what? The pattern which is in heaven. The Bible says that the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies would be the inner court where that Ark of the Covenant would be at. Outside of that would be animal skin laid over it. Inside of that, when you first walked into the inner part, there would be four veils that you would have to go through with four pillars. When you'd go through them, you'd come into the first part of the room. There would be the menorah. There would be the table of showbread. And there would be the altar of incense. That'd be your first part. Then you would have to walk through five pillars that had five curtains thick. When you walked into that room, there was no light. It was just the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark of the Covenant, there in the Holy of Holies, the high priest would take the blood of the sacrificial lamb, place it upon the altar. The Shekinah glory of God would come and set upon the mercy seat. That room would illuminate with his glory. Now, the only one that would be there would be the high priest. So what about everybody else on the outside? Can you imagine at that time? Because the Bible says at that time that God only came one day a year. One day. Imagine you got one shot to get it right. That's it. One shot. Everybody on the outside doesn't know what's going on. But the Bible gives us a clue. Jewish historians give us a clue. The Bible references the Holy of Holies by a name sometimes, and it's called the breath of the Holies. The reason is, when God would show up, everybody on the outside knew when he was there. And they knew he was there because they would first hear a sound. The sound in which they would hear would be as a man breathing. And they would look at the Holy of Holies, and the animal skin would deflate and inflate like a set of lungs. And everybody on the outside would hear a man like he was breathing. And the people on the outside would know God is there. God is there. Now wait a minute. Fast forward to the upper room. The day of Pentecost, the veil of the temple has been ripped. People say it was so that we could go into the presence of God. No, it was never about going in. It was about him coming out. He wasn't going to be hid behind a veil anymore. The Bible says that he would be in a temple, a tabernacle, not made with human hands. So where is that? Right here. What happened in the upper room? Well, we are so convinced that a mighty rushing wind came in, but that's not what the scripture says. What does it say? There was a sound as a mighty rushing wind. There's the disciples in the upper room, and all of a sudden you hear. Could be the breath of God breathing upon them. Now, stay with me just for a second here. Now, if everybody in the days of Moses, and even in the upper room at this time, know that God is there based on the sound of a man's breath, don't you know that every demonic spirit also recognizes the sound of his breath? I'm going to tell you point blank. Worship is the easiest thing in the world to do. Worship is telling God that he is worthy. You know what is the most difficult thing to do? Praise. Praise is the most challenging thing in the world. You can have a bad day and come to church and worship God. Lift up your hand and say, God, you're holy, you're righteous, you're worthy. But when they say, lift up a praise, we're like, woo. Because your bad day your flesh, your anger, your frustration, your bitterness, your unforgiveness, you don't want to praise. Praise is something that you have to force yourself to do. But let's go back to the psalm. What is the psalm? It's your breath in our lungs that we... Our praise is based off of His breath in our lungs. When you're under spiritual warfare, the number one thing that you have to do is learn how to praise in the midst of warfare. Why? Because when you begin to release the sound that is within you, every demonic spirit has to pay attention that the sound is the same sound that they heard in the days of Moses, that they heard in the days of David, that they heard in the days of Solomon, that they heard in the days of Jesus. And every demonic spirit goes, hold on, I know that sound. If His breath is in you and you release a praise, it's how you combat spiritual warfare. But every time warfare comes, we want to sit down and be quiet and pout. He's picking on me. Release the sound. Release the sound. He is within you. Let's go further just for a moment. Go to Ezekiel 37. Very familiar passage of scripture. We're just going to read a few verses. Ezekiel 37. We there? Amen. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among the roundabout. Behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. Now stop. Most of you have heard this passage of Scripture somewhere along the line. You know, eventually Ezekiel's going to prophesy, and he's going to say bone unto bone, flesh unto flesh, sinew unto sinew, muscle to joint to joint. And he's going to start prophesying to the bones. Let me ask you this. What's the first thing He speaks to the bones? Nobody look at your Bible yet. Look at me. What's the first thing you think He says? You think He speaks to the bones and say bone unto bone? Because that's what we, you know, normally that's what you do if you just got a bunch of bones there. Bone unto bone. Maybe He said muscle to muscle, sinew to sinew, joint to joint. Maybe He said those things. What's the first thing He said? Look at verse 4. Again, He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The first thing that Ezekiel says to the valley of dry bones has nothing to do with them themselves, but it basically, here's what he says, hear what God is saying. We got people that are recklessly prophesying to a lot of things, and they're trying to get bones to come together, but they've not first yet tapped into what heaven is declaring. There's a scripture in the Bible, and we've used it a lot of times, talks about the disciples being in the boat, and the storm comes. First time we ever get this illustration, Jesus is in the bottom of the boat, and He's asleep. Bible says the storm comes, they begin to panic. In the midst of panicking, they go and wake Him up. I believe it kind of angered Him a little bit. Probably had a good nap going on. He gets up, rebukes the storm. Then He turns around and rebukes them. Not having any faith. Now, granted, we've heard a lot of messages, and people talk about the disciples should have known better because Jesus was in them, they weren't going to drown. But before you think you're all high, holy, and mighty, if you was in a boat and the waves were coming across you, you would be panicking too. That's just the reality of the truth. You'd be kind of panicking, even, and you'd be panicking that He is asleep. You're not thinking, He's with us, we're going to be okay. You're thinking, here we are going to die, and He's asleep. The next time they get in the boat, Jesus tells them to get in the boat. Now, if I'd been one of the disciples, I'd looked at Jesus and said, I ain't falling for this again. Just know my character. But eventually, He tells them, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. But this time, Jesus says, I'm going up to the mountain to pray. Not then we'd be like, hold the phone. Last time we got in the boat, storm came. We panicked. You rebuked us. Now you're telling us to get in the boat and you're going to go up to the other side. I really think that Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit has a sense of humor, folks. I'm just being serious. You ought to learn how to laugh. Your life will be so much better, especially when you can learn how to laugh at the expense of others. It's just, life is just like so much more grand to live. But I believe that Jesus had a great sense of humor. Because I believe that Jesus is on top of the mountain. He's praying, he's talking to God. And every once in a while, when the storm comes, Jesus cracks an eye open and goes, watch, they're going to panic. Watch this. Father, forgive me for the things. That's just my warped sense of humor, folks. But there's a side of me that feels that way. Like Jesus is kind of gouging them a little bit because he tells them to get in the boat. They get in the boat. They panic again. This time, Jesus comes walking on the water. We've heard all the great sermons. Peter gets out of the boat, walks on the water, takes his eyes off Jesus, looks at the storms, and all of a sudden, Peter begins to sink, but Jesus is close enough, reaches his hand. We've seen the paintings of a hand sticking out of the water and Jesus bending down and getting it. And those paintings are great, but I'm past those paintings. Because I'll tell you what, that part of it doesn't impress me. What impresses me is Peter getting out of the boat and the rest of them turkeys stand behind. I want the painting of Peter getting out of the boat. But let's talk about this just for a moment. Because you hear these stories and you hear these scriptures and people say, well, you know, Peter was called to walk on water and I'm not called to walk on water. I want to free you of something. Jesus never told Peter to walk on the water. Never did. And God is not calling you to walk on water. So let that go. Jesus is in the storm. He comes walking. They panic even more because they think it's a ghost. And at that time, they believe if you saw a ghost, you were definitely going to drown and die. To which John the Beloved sees Jesus, tells Peter, it's the Lord. Peter speaks to Jesus and says, if it's you, tell me to come out there. Jesus simply says, come. Peter jumps out of the boat, walks on the water, gets so close to Jesus, and then begins to sink. We put our sermons there, but I'm more impressed because he wasn't told to walk on water. What Peter really did was he walked on the word. The water was the thing in which was used to get him to the presence of Jesus. See, you're trying to look at the impossible, the situation, and the possible is when he speaks something, you ought to be able to see it fulfilled because of the thing in which he declared. When he said, come, Peter knew, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to get there because he told me to come. I asked and he told me to come. God is not calling you to walk on water. He's calling you to walk on the word. Yeah. That's right. That's right. But how did it begin? When Peter heard the sound of Jesus. My sheep know my voice. When Peter heard him say, come, it was enough. I don't need to hear anything else. It was enough. And I'm so impressed with Peter because he would rather go into the storm than to stay in a boat of false security. Let's go a little bit further. The Bible tells us about a voice crying in the wilderness. They talked about the voice crying out in the wilderness, prophesying that the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lamb of God would be coming, but they denied the voice. The Bible tells us that they heard the voice of the Son, but they did not recognize it. You and I have to be willing to cry out for the sound of heaven to be released, not only in your life, not only in this congregation, but also in this region. The Bible says that he is the voice of many waters. Ezekiel 43:2, and behold, the glory of God came, glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Revelation 14:2 said, and I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and the voice of the loud thunder. And I heard the sound of the harpist playing their harps. God's voice is likened unto a river. And yet Jesus would tell a woman at a well that there is a water a river that is flowing within you. If his voice is likened unto a river and has a sound, what is the sound of the river that is within you? We have to be willing to get to a place where nothing else matters but the sound. We have to be willing to get to the place where it is his voice above all the other voices. The sound of heaven isn't about what you say, but who you are. We have to create an atmosphere of his presence. We have to ask him to come. We have to ask him to come and to release the sound of heaven. Jesus said, and this is where I'm at, my goal, this is where I'm at right now in this season of my life. This is where I'm at. Jesus said, I don't say anything unless I first hear the Father say it. And I don't do anything unless I first see the Father do it. My, oh my. If we could tap into that kind of revelation to where the things that we did for the glory of God was not based off of what everybody else is saying, not based off our current circumstance or political stance or political situation. The things that we were saying is not based off of how good or how bad the economy is, but how and what the sound of heaven is releasing. If we could tap in to what the Father is saying, we would truly be effective in our regions. The sound of many waters. There's a river that's within inside of you that is flowing. But I know many of you don't have rivers. You're more like a stagnant pond. I love you. But many of you have become, you've dammed up the river and you've become a stagnant pond because God moved in some form or fashion and you wanted to pitch a tent there and camp out and act like that God's never going to do anything ever again. It's only going to happen when they sing this song. It's going to only happen when this person prays. It's only going to happen in this form or fashion. There's no way that God's ever going to move but in this way. And you don't realize how sick you are in bacteria and algae and slime. Nothing can live in a stagnation. The only thing that can ever truly have life is something that has a flow to it. Well, brother, what about ponds? They have life. Take the oxygen out of it and see how much lives in it. See, your river has an oxygen to it. It's called his breath. The only way you're going to tap into the sound of heaven is you got to be consistent in your prayer, your word, and your worship. You got to be more impressed with what heaven is releasing than what the next latest greatest speaker or sound worship team is releasing. To release the sound of heaven, you must turn an ear to heaven. So I want to do this morning. First of all, I want all the worship team to come back. All the worship team, I want y'all to come back. I don't want you to play. I just want you to get up here. I tell you what, no, I want the worship team right here. Come right here, worship team. I love you. Come right here. No, come on down if you can. I'm sorry. Let's put the worship team down here. I'm going to start with the worship team, but I'm going to get everybody else in this room too, so nobody panic. Y'all can look at me, worship team. Somebody go get Miss Ivy. Okay. Is that everybody? Drummer's coming. I love y'all's drummer. I was so glad and I came back and I seen him. I'm telling my wife, that's the drummer. You remember me telling me about the drummer before? I like that guy. He told me last night I needed to put a little bit more into my messages. I'm going to try to study and do a little bit better job. I thought Pastor Rob was going to start releasing the thing in which I was hearing in my spirit earlier, and I thought, he's tapped into it. I don't know at what point y'all was leading worship, but I heard the Lord speak to me concerning this worship team. And what I heard the Lord say is, new elevations, new revelations, and new manifestations. I heard the Lord say there's coming a major shift to this worship team. It's not the things that you've been doing or leading that has been wrong. It's not that at all. What the Lord says is he's carrying you into a major shift. Your worship is going to have a new sound. Your worship's going to have a new voice. The things in which you've been doing is not going to be the things in which you're going to do. I heard the Lord scream nearly at the top of my spirit, there is a shift coming to this worship team. I heard the Lord say to prepare your hearts, because the things in which you thought you knew, you have no concept of what he's about to do. I heard the Lord say that everybody's not going to understand this monumental change that's going to come through you guys, but they who will remain will see the glory of God through the sound that you're going to release. I saw in my spirit that when you struck notes, certain notes, people were going to be healed. People were going to have miracles. I saw when you were releasing sounds into the atmosphere, I saw people without anyone ever laying their hands on them, legs growing out, back straightening up. I saw visions being restored. I saw healing virtues being released out of the sound in which you guys are going to be releasing. I heard the Lord say, cultivate the newness. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't be hesitant. Don't resist the thing in which he's going to speak to each and every one of you. You may be unfamiliar with it because it is a newness, but you're going to tap into the oil vein of heaven. I heard the Lord say, you're tapping into the oil vein of heaven. I heard the Lord say, you're tapping into the oil vein of heaven. You will release the sound of heaven. I hear the shift. I hear the shift. I hear the shift. I hear the Lord say that there will be a new level of prophetic worship come from this house. You will be not known for singing songs, but declaring prophetically what heaven is releasing. I hear that in the next 3 months, the Lord is going to transform the hearts of every one of you in this worship team. And over the next 3 months, you will go through a transition that will be painful at times, but growth always hurts. But at the end of the 3 months, on October the 15th, God is going to radically shift the sound that is coming out of this house. And the sound that comes out of this house, the county will turn its head and its eyes toward the house of Bethel. There is a prophetic word that is going to come out of this house that will shift the region into a prophetic destiny. They will come from the east, the west, the north, and the south. And they will come because they say, I heard a sound that drew unto me and said, I needed to tap in to what was being released from this house. Hey, shokotorabakatarada. There is a sound coming in which every demonic spirit in this region will stand attention to and recognize it is the sound of the Father taking his position of authority over the region. I hear the sound that will penetrate every demonic legion and principality that will cause them to flee and break loose of the chains and the bondages that they've had over this territory. There's a sound that is being released. There is a sound that is coming, and there is a sound that is now. I see new instruments coming. I see wind instruments coming. I see wind instruments coming. Wind instruments are coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come here, Pastor. Come here. Stand right here. Whew. Yeah. I saw you in the midst of worship. When I saw you in the midst of worship, I saw a new mantle being placed upon you. Actually, what I saw was I saw two angels coming and taking this mantle and placing it over your shoulders. I saw an angel to your right and to your left. I saw those angels adoring you with that mantle, and I said, God, what am I seeing? And the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm mantling him in a way that he did not anticipate. He's been in a season where he has journeyed for so long and broke the ground for so long, and there's been times when he felt almost defeated, like he wasn't getting the fullness out of everybody. But the angels are coming, and that mantle is a new assignment over your life. That mantle is marked by promotion. That mantle is identified in a way that you've not fully embraced, but you've known for years that God has been realigning you. There's been a little bit of hesitation and resistance to be able to fully embrace the thing in which God has called you, but he's saying now is your mantling time. This is an appointed time right now. I saw the angels when they put the mantle on you. I saw them simply place their hand on the crown of your head. And when they placed your hand on the crown of your head, it is like oil burst forth out of their hands, and it saturated you entirely. And I said, God, what am I seeing about this? And the Lord said, I'm changing him in such a radical way that the only way that people are going to be able to recognize him is that the oil that he produces from within will have such a glory and purpose to it that they will not question what it is that he's doing or saying. They'll only say, I don't get it, but I want it. I see an increase of wisdom coming. I see an increase of wisdom coming upon you. I see blueprints. I see blueprints. There's something deep within your heart that you've not really elaborated on that you want to see built, but I see the blueprints coming out of the page. I see those blueprints coming out, and I hear the Lord saying, I'm releasing the assignment of the blueprints. Oh! And that's why the Lord has sent these two angels to mantle you, because it is an appointed now. It is an appointed now. Hey, shorabakatete. Hey, katorobo korababa, shandere kitarabobo, rakatarabo, shokotora, kitarabobo, shorababa. I see the government of this region calling upon you, asking for wisdom. I see the government. I see government officials that have power in this territory calling upon you and asking for insight. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, shokorabakatarana. I see the train of that veil now. The Lord spoke to me and said, there's been a season of intense warfare, but you're about to embark in a season of great victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, everybody in this congregation, I want you to do something. You know, when you hear things, it does no good if you don't activate the things in which you hear. There has to be an activation. Whenever prophetic words are released, or prophetic or prophecy, whatever, you have to activate it. A lot of people receive prophetic words, then they go home and sit down. And they do nothing. And then they're like mad at God. God, you didn't do anything. He's like, I gave you an assignment. I told you what to do. See, part of that assignment, like what you spoke into him, you gotta start stirring that gift again. She already knows that she's got to start releasing those prophetic words that she's hearing a lot more often. So here's what we're going to do. Everybody all right, it's like 10 after. Everybody good? Okay. So y'all been sitting a long time, so why don't you stand up? The right hand is a type and shadow of authority. The right side is a type and shadow of authority too, as well. So what I want us to do is, I want you to take your right hand in just a moment, I want you to place it to your right ear. And what you're going to do is, you're going to talk to God, and you're going to prophesy to yourself. Did you know that you have the ability to prophesy to yourself? Matter of fact, most of you are doing it a lot of times when you say negative things. It'll never happen for me. Well, prophesy about it. So what I'm going to get you to do in a moment, you're going to place your hand on your right ear. You're going to ask God to open up your ear, your spiritual ear and your natural ear, that you would hear the sound of heaven. Okay? We're going to do a little bit of activation here. Okay? That's what we're going to do. We're going to do activation. We're going to activate our ear. Then I'm going to ask, if you hear something, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you what you hear. We're going to tap into what we're hearing. This is activation. This is cool, right? Everybody, we're all good. All right? So right now, I want you to talk to God yourself. Place your right hand on your ear. Begin to talk to him and ask him to open up your ears. Just talk to God. Don't move your hand. Now be completely quiet and listen. Now look here. You can take your hand down. How many you may not have, and that's cool. This is how you practice. But how many of you felt like you heard God say something right then? That you heard something that said, that's okay. What'd you hear? Time to take back the territory. Ivy, what'd you hear? Say it one. Sorry.
Look for me in the small things. When I say right, go right. When I say left, go left.
Who else? I think you raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
I heard him say, it's been spoken, it will happen.
Come on, who else? I see your hand in the back. I'm going to get.
Keep your eyes on me, focus on me.
Come on. I'm coming.
He told me to walk in his word, and he will show me as I go, and he'll guide me.
Come on. Who else?
He said, I hear my people.
Hey. Who else? Make sure. I'm coming.
Can you hear and see things at the same time?
because I see doors opening, and the Lord's saying the doors are opening.
She brings out a great point. Let me address this real quick. She said, can you hear and see at the same time? Absolutely. Here's the thing, real quick. How many knows after Elijah slays the prophets of Baal, Jezebel sends a servant, tells Elijah, says, the way you kill my prophets, I'm going to kill you. Elijah panics, runs to a cave, and flees. I've read that for a long time and thought, how in the world did you have fear hit you like that when you just whipped all the prophets of Baal? You know what I mean? Well, when you go back and you read that verse, there's an interesting point to it. Everybody close their eyes. I'm going to say a word. Just close your eyes. You ready? Dog. Open up your eyes. How many heard me say it, but they saw a dog? What the scripture says is when the servant came and told him that, it does not say that Elijah heard the word. It says Elijah saw the word. In other words, when Elijah heard that servant, he saw it play out before him, and a spirit of fear got a hold of him. So see, sound will often coincide with vision. So you see a door and you hear the word as well. Or you hear and you see. See, he heard the sound and then they saw the cloud. Sound precedes the manifestation of the revelation. And here's the thing. At some point right now, just what you guys were hearing, God is speaking to you. And he's telling you to release the things in which you hear. Release those things. Well, brother, I'm not hearing right now. You could be seeing. Pay attention. But when you're not feeling like you hear anything, get back into the elementary principles. What do I mean? Word, worship, and prayer. Get in the word, get in worship, and get in prayer. It will not be long until you hear the sound of heaven. I want this worship team to come back. Can y'all come back and play? And we are landing this plane, so everybody be good. You're going to make it to Golden Corral. To which, if that's where you want to go eat, we're going to have deliverance service before you get there. I am not a fan of Golden Corral. I said that one time in North Carolina, and the people came up to me afterwards and said, where do you want to go to eat? I said, I don't care. They said, no, obviously you do. They said, serious business, we were going to take you to Golden Corral because we go there every Sunday. I'm like, oh my God. This foot tastes real good about now. But I was at a Golden Corral one time, and a grown woman at the chocolate fountain was going. I just want to throat punch that demon. I mean, what would cause him? It had to be a demon. Listen, there is a world out there that has no idea of the realm of the possibility of God. Simply because we're waiting to invite them to a service. We are stuck in disciple mode. I believe in discipling. You need to be discipled, but you need to be mature till you become apostolic. When the disciples were with Jesus, the best that they could ever do is say, you need healing, come to Jesus. You need deliverance, come hear Jesus. The best they could do was an invitation. But when they became apostles, and they were baptized in Holy Spirit. They no longer invited anyone to a service. They didn't bring people to Jesus. They got out of the upper room and brought Jesus to the people. You need to learn to release the sound in order to encourage one another. Because we need to learn how to encourage one another. We need to know what heaven is saying for one another. That's the reason you tap into what the sound is. But what good is it if we only save it for here and not carry it out there? It don't take 5 minutes to pray for somebody in Walmart. or the restaurant. It don't take 5 minutes just to tell somebody that they're loved and they're special. Well, I'm afraid they'll reject me. Well, here's a reality. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. So get over your pride. It's not rejecting you. It's not about you. You don't heal nobody. It's the name of Jesus. It's His reputation, not yours. People ask, what do you do if somebody, you lay hands on somebody that are not healed? I'm like, I didn't heal them to begin with. That's all Jesus, not Ryan. Ain't nobody getting saved at the name of Ryan. But you need to learn how to release the sound. Dietrich Bonhoeffer went toe-to-toe with Adolf Hitler. You go toe-to-toe with Adolf Hitler, you have my attention. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, we must live our way, our life, in such a way that we allow God to interrupt our schedule. What that means to me is every time I go to a restaurant, doesn't happen all the time, but every time I go to the restaurant, I always sit down and say, God, if you have a word for the waiter or the waitress or anyone in this restaurant, give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive whatever it is I need to release unto them. And even if I'm in a meeting with a bunch of other people, I will stop and let God interrupt it for the sake of another. Heaven is always releasing a sound. The question is, will you tap into it and release that sound? Who do they say that I am? Who do you say that I am? What we do in here is good. What we do out there is greater. What do you mean, Ryan? Well, Jesus said, everything I've done, you will be able to do, but you will do greater than I did. As great as it is to invite people to the service tonight, it's greater to go out there and be service unto them. Invite them tonight, but also serve as a son, a daughter, an heir, an ambassador. Here's how I feel like for just a minute, if we can. I'm going to give this pastor. He'll do whatever he has to do. But I want them to just lift up whatever praise, worship, wherever they want to go, whatever they're feeling. And I want you to embrace it as well. I want you to do something that you typically don't do. If that means you take a step this way, take a step that way. If you don't raise your hands ever, maybe do this. I want you to do something. You know, even if it's, maybe it's the pat the heart, whatever. Do something that you typically don't do to overcome your flesh. Your flesh is going to tell you you're good as you are. Jesus is going to tell you, come. Come. My question is, will you remain in the boat or jump out?
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.